Okay, good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us this morning to learn. Less than 2 weeks before Yom Tov, try to get ready for Pesach in a little bit of a different perspective. I saw an insight of the Chafetz Chaim quoting a Medrash, and I want to do something different than... Yes?
I want to tell you, could we designate or whatever, dedicate this for Hamatzah?
Absolutely. All of our learning today should be as a chus for Achenu B'nai Yisrael, for all the Cholim in the community, and for Yeshua for all of Klal Yisrael. Thank you for that. That's a very good idea. Usually I like to take questions, then build an answer with a message after the questions. I want to do the opposite today. I want to start with a piece of the Chafetz Chaim that I like to learn together. It actually segues very well from what you just suggested. And then try to show throughout the Haggadah and throughout Pesach, throughout both the Jewish people's exodus from Mitzrayim and our reenacting that, how the Chafetz Chaim's words come to life. So let's learn a piece together in the Chafetz Chaim, and then we'll take a look at Pesach night and the Seder. The Chafetz Chaim wrote a sefer called Avas Chesed. Chafetz Chaim is most famous for his sefer called Chafetz Chaim, Halacha's Lashon Hara, his work on Halacha, the Mishneh Berurah, but he also wrote a sefer on Avas Chesed, which is not just a sefer that talks about the importance of Chesed, but also discusses some of the Halachos of Chesed. So the Chafetz Chaim writes, and this could be written today, he writes, V'hinei, Ata, now, Shemidas Hadin Gavra Ma'od Al Ha'olam. The Midas of Din, of judgment, is very much on the world. It's conquering the world. We feel that today. The Ein Shum Eitza Lehinatzel Midet Saros Hamizchachos Yom V'yom. And there's no way, there's no advice, there's no solution to be saved from all the struggles that arise anew each day. It can be written today. We have no Eitza. We have no Eitzah. Mama od yesh lehizchazek b'midas ha-chesed. How much do we need to strengthen ourselves in the attribute of chesed? Kidei she'al yidei zeh yis'orer midas ha-chesed ha-yona. Through our chesed in this world, that will awaken and inspire chesed from above. The yikuyam aleinu ma'shamar ha-kasa, we can fulfill the pasuk. The erastachli b'tzedek of a mishpat u'v'chesed of a rachamim. I will become engaged to Hashem, or Hashem says to me, with tzedek, mishpat, and chesed and rachamim. Okay? So we have to, if we do chesed here, that awakens Hashem to do chesed above. And he continues, v'amru chachameinu zechorin levracha, he quotes a medrash, shomer kodesh baruch hu, God says, Uma elu shehein ba'atzman tzrichim chesed? Osim chesed elum elu? This people, this nation who needs chesed, and yet they're doing chesed with each other? Ani, she'ani malei chesed v'rachim, ah, you were full of chesed and rachim, alachas kama v'kama, she'ani tzarech ligmol chesed and briyosai. I need to do chesed with my people. If the people are doing chesed with each other and they need the chesed and still they're doing the chesed, Hashem says, I am full of chesed. I have to do chesed with my people. Hashem copies, imitates what we do. The Gemara says this in many places. Kol merachim ala brios, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is merachim from Shemayim. Anyone who's dan l'chaf z'chus, Hashem is dan l'chaf z'chus in Shemayim. So if we do chesed here, Hashem says, I'm going to do chesed with you. And how does this relate to Mitzrayim? Because look at this medrash, this chazal that he brings. Really unbelievable. Venerally, Shazel Madi Isa Batan de Be'elio. This is what it says. This is what it means. That's what's quoted in Tan de Be'elio, which is one of the small sechtas, Midrashim. He says like this, Kishayu Yisrael be Mitzrayim. The Jews are in Mitzrayim. Niskabtsu kulam v'yashru yachad. They were sitting and schmoozing at Shal Shudas. They're taking a walk this afternoon. The weather's getting nice. We can think about taking walks again. The truth is people take walks even when it's cold. I can maybe start taking a walk now. The Jewish people are sitting around. They're schmoozing. Mishum shayukulam balguda achas. They were one. The karsu bris yachad. They made a pact. Shayasu gemilus chasadim zeh. The Jewish people were sitting around in the Mitzrayim, they were enslaved. I don't know at what point in the slavery this was, but deep into the decades and decades of slavery, they got together and they were Koresh Bris, they made a treaty, a pact. Sheyasu gemilos chasadim zemze, that they would chesed with each other. V'yishmeru b'lvavam bris Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov, and they would keep the bris of Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov. The lavoras avim shvashmayim levado, they would serve only God. At that point, they were doing avodah zara. V'shol yanichu loshon beis Yaakov avim, they would talk Jewish language. V'shol yimdu loshon Mitzrayim, they wouldn't learn and speak in the Egyptian language. Ayin sham. Okay, take a look over there. Ask the Chavetz Chaim. What was this pact, this treaty that they would do chesed? What chesed were they going to do? What chesed were they going to do? Was it tzedakah? Was it tomchei Shabbos? What did they do in Mitzrayim? Ela inyan kachu. This is what it means. When they saw that there was no way, there was no hope, there was no way to get out of Paro's terrible decree, the servitude, the slavery, the oppression was getting worse and worse each day. Ma asu, what they do? Niskabtsu ba'aguda achas, v'tiksu eitza malas l'sazeh. They got together and they said, we need to do something. We have no way out. We have no hope. V'hiskimu b'neihem sheyelchu b'derech Hashem levado. They got together and they said, we're going to walk in Hashem's ways. V'lo yishanu eshmam l'shom. We won't change our names. We won't change our language. Gam karsu bris yachal ligmo chesed zeh mzeh. They made a pact that we're going to do chesed with each other. Hainu shayodei zeh yis'orer l'mala chesed shel Hashem yisbarach aleihem. Through that, Hashem would the chesed of Hashem would awaken. Umemela yivutlu lebesof gzeros of Shaparo, and therefore Paro's gzera would eventually become nullified. So the Jewish people said, "We have no way out." The davening, I don't want to say davening is not working, but we've been davening for a long time, and that doesn't seem to be working. I guess they try to escape. They had no hope. Every person there was basically born into slavery. They never experienced a day of freedom in their life. They said, let's get together and we're going to do chesed. And he goes on to say that this is what happened. Because we say in Az Yashir, Nachisa b'chastacha. And what's the next two words? Amzu ga'alta. And the Medrash says that because Nachisa b'chastacha, because Klal Yisrael did chesed, Amzu ga'alta, the nation was redeemed. Komar Hashem, Zacharti la chesed ni'urayich, Ahavas klul osayich, lech tech achra b'midbar. What's the chesed ni'urayich? The chesed they did in Mitzrayim. Unbelievable. What got the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim, it doesn't say what the chesed is, we'll try to explain in a little bit. What got the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim was the fact that they were able to do chesed with each other. They made a pact, we're going to do chesed. I believe that so much of, not so much, a good chunk of the Seder and what we're trying to do relates to and taps into this Koach of Chesed. And I want to go through parts of the Seder and explain how we're trying to, at the Seder, hint to, evoke, and inspire ourselves to do Chesed. So we all know, as halacha, that we don't pour our own cup at the Seder. The Dalet Kosos, the four cups of wine. I mentioned this in between Ruchamar the other night. We don't pour our own wine. Why is that? What's the simple explanation? We're free. We're free. If you turn the page, the Shulchan Aruch actually writes this. A lot of what we do, we think comes from our kids' kindergarten teacher. It actually comes from some of it they made up, I think, but most of it comes from the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch, and they didn't make it up. I'm not, it's fine. In source number two, the Shulchan Aruch writes, Baal Bayis lo yimzog ba'atzmo. The Baal Bayis, and the Mefarshim say, it doesn't just mean the Baal Bayis, it means every person there shouldn't pour. Rak achar yimzog lo. Someone else should do the pouring. Derech chirus. It's free. We're free. It's interesting. The Aruch HaShulchan says we don't keep this anymore. Because he says, who should pour? Who's going to pour my cup for me? My wife's going to pour a cup for me. He said, she doesn't need to be free. Your freedom is more important than her freedom? No. So you're going to sit there like a king and have everyone else serve you. That's not as the cheres for you. It's not cheres for other people. Everyone has to have equal cheres. So the Aruch HaShulchan says we're not makpeh on this halacha today. Fascinating chiddush. So what do? We all pour for each other.
Couldn't it be the chesed?
Oh, no, we'll get there. You're jumping the gun. It's so we all pour for each other. And that also always struck me as being odd because I'm not really free. The second you're pouring me, I'm free. But if I'm pouring you right afterwards, then I'm not free. If we have, maybe at a hotel, they feel the chayrus. Someone else is, I don't think they come around and pour. I don't know. Chayrus, how's that chayrus? We're all pouring for each other. If someone's pouring for me, I feel free. So the Chassam Sofer says there's a different reason why we pour for each other. We're pouring for each other because we want to do for each other. I want to do chesed for you. Now, it's not the biggest chesed. And there are other chesed we could do. It's not the biggest chesed in the world. But I'm sitting there. You have your cup. I want to pour for you. And I want to pour for you. And I want to pour for you. So says the Chassam Sofer, it's not just an expression of our chayrus. It's also, it's not about not pouring yourself. It's about pouring for someone else. I want to do for you. We start the Seder, basically. Before we even get to Kaddish, we're pouring wine for someone else to remind ourselves of chesed. And I think it's to hit this idea of the Chassam Sofer. There's another idea. We break the matzah. Yachatz. Why do we break the matzah? The simple explanation. Why do we break the matzah?
Show freedom.
Freedom? We break, how is that free?
Ask questions.
Get the kids to ask questions. That's always a good answer if you don't know.
I just heard this morning because on the Israeli radio.
Yeah.
It's because Yaakov divided his camp, you know, when he
yes, there's many, 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 many explanations and many creative explanations. What does that have to do with Seder night? What's the simple? Yeah, the matzah is called Lechem. Lechem Oni, the Magen Avraham in source number 4. He explains, and I think this is the simple pshat. We like to come up with fancy pshatim, which we'll do in a minute. But the simple pshat is V'yivtze'en el'shnayim, the Shulchan Aruch says, you break it into two. The be'in and lechem oni, matzah is called lechem oni, poor man's bread, and a poor person can't have a full matzah, doesn't have a full piece of bread, he has pieces. The darka shel ani beprusa, the way of the poor is with pieces. Now, why do you have to break the matzah? The boxes of matzah have plenty broken matzahs. Why can't we take there's more broken matzah than full matzah sometimes. Why do we have to actually break this? So there's a lot of explanations. One day we'll have a shiur just on yachatz.
I have a very funny question.
Yes.
No, the first line, it says you take the karpas and yeah. put it in vinegar?
Yeah, so we did this. We do salt water. They're good.
This is
Shulchan Aruch, yeah. So it's not the topic for today, but we stick with salt water.
Just as bad.
So the simple explanation is we break the matzah because lechem oni, very simple, lechem oni. Okay, you could ask why do we waste a whole matzah and break it, take the broken pieces. I saw an explanation I thought was amazing in the name of Rabbi Soloveitchik, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. He says that the Levium did not work. They were not part of the Shibud, the slavery. Levium didn't have to work. Why not? It's a whole other question. The Levium did not work. Levium had food. They weren't slaves. They had regular jobs. They had money. They had few. They lived. You know what they did? They saw most of Klal Yisrael didn't have food, didn't have money. So they broke from their bread to give to their friend. So Sefer Soloveitchik, the reason we break the matzahs, we're symbolizing, we're evoking, we're reminding ourselves, break from what you have to give to someone else. A beautiful idea. We're breaking it to remind ourselves, as a zecher, to what the Levian did to break the bread. And this reminds me of a story that I've told before, I don't remember where, if you've heard me say it, I apologize, of Howard Schultz, the CEO of Starbucks, who met and developed a very close relationship with Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, the Rosh Hashiva of the Mir. You've heard the story?
No.
No, in fact, he actually referenced him in a op-ed that he wrote in the New York Times in 2016. There was a thought that he was going to run for president, if you remember. So he wrote an op-ed, and he quoted his friend, Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel, who had passed away, I think, in 2011. If my date's wrong, I apologize. They went to the Kotel together, and as they're walking there, around 10 yards away, Rav Nosson Tzvi stopped. And Harav Schwartz says, you could go, closer. He said, how come you don't want to go closer? So he said, oh, you go, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy of going all the way up to the wall. And Howard Schwartz quoted that as the humility needed for a Jewish leader. But they had a relationship. The way the relationship started is Howard Schwartz went on a trip to Israel with a group of wealthy American businessmen. They went on a trip to Israel, mostly a business trip, and they also took them to Eishet Torah, arranged part of the trip, the whole trip, and they took them to meet, famous people. So they took them to meet Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, who was the Rosh Yeshiva, in their language, the CEO of a yeshiva with 6,000-7,000 students, a massive institution, and they went. And Howard Schwartz tells the story. This was, you could find the live interview where he tells a story. It's written up in a lot of places. It's in the book they wrote on Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel. And he says they went, like 10, 15 businessmen, they went to a small little office in the middle of Mea Shearim. They were expecting a big office, great views, marble, a little, donkey office in Mea Shearim. They're sitting around the table and they waited for like 15 minutes. And Rav Nosson Tzvi walked in. He had terrible Parkinson's. If you ever saw a video of him, it was very hard to talk. Zochet to hear him live. He shook. He didn't want to take medicine because it messed with his mind, and he wanted to be able to learn. He shook. It was uncomfortable even being in a room and watching him and hearing him. The Mesiras Nefesh is unbelievable. I actually have in my house I tried for years to get this picture before I finally got it. There's an amazing picture of him lighting Hanukkah candles, and he's holding his right hand with his left hand to be able to keep his hand straight. Unbelievable. He walks into the room, and Howard Schwartz says he sits there, and he gave a dig. He said, oh, I'm sorry to keep, such important people waiting. And they're on the table. They couldn't look at him. It was very uncomfortable. He said, gentlemen, look at me. He said, we're 70 years from the Holocaust. You're smart businessmen. What's the message of the Holocaust? So Howard Schultz says we were transported back to like third grade where no one wants to answer the question. We wanted to hide under the table. There was silence for like 5 minutes. And finally a person raised his hand and said, never again. Never again. Doesn't say, totally dismissed him. Never again. You're smart businessmen. Don't just give me cliches. That's the message of the Holocaust. Never again. So another couple minutes of silence, and the next person said, don't forget. Don't forget. He says, you don't get it. He said, let me tell the message of the Holocaust. He said, people came in inhumane conditions in the cattle cars. They got to the concentration camps. They were hungry. They were cold. They were on the brink of death, and they were put into a barrack. Six people onto a bed. You can't even call it a bed. A bench. Six people. And it was freezing. It was freezing for during the winter. And they're given one blanket. And the first person at the edge of that bunk, that bed, that bench, had the choice. Should he keep that blanket for himself? Or should he spread it to the other five lying with him? And those people took that blanket and they spread it out. That's the message of the Holocaust, the Jewish spirit, that even in the darkest of times, even in the worst conditions, unimaginable, unspeakable, they took the blanket and they spread it out amongst the other five people. He said, gentlemen, you were given a big blanket. Go back to America and spread out your blanket. And he walked out and he left. And they stayed very close. We could talk about this forever. Howard Schultz once gave him a blank check. A blank check. It was just when the Mir Shiva had it there. They were struggling mightily. He gave him a blank check, and Rav Nosson Tzvi didn't take it. The Rebbeim went crazy on him. Like, you crazy? This is worth these, I don't know how many hundreds of millions of dollars. He said, this is not what our relationship is. We're friends. This is not, it's not about that. They said, yeah, it was dead. Rav Nosson Tzvi got him a pair of tefillin. But that's this idea, I believe, Rav Soloveitchik is saying. The Levium had and they broke from their own to give to other. When we break the matzah, yes, it's lachem oni, and maybe there are explanations about splitting of the sea and all these other, the Yaakov split his kid. There are many explanations, but this idea of Rav Soloveitchik, I think, goes very well with this Chafetz Chaim. What got us out of Mitzrayim was this chesed that Klal Yisrael did. So we want to do things at the Seder to show, to be Balei Chesed in some small way. We pour each other the cups. We break the matzah. Those are our two ideas. The third idea is that it all starts with sensitivity. The only way we could be Balei Chesed, if we have that sensitivity, take a look at this shot of the Shla, which will, I think, blow your mind. The Pasuk tells us in the beginning of Shmos, not the beginning, in Parshas Va'era, in Source 5, Ela Rashi Beis, we're counting, we're listening to the Jewish people. Ela Rashi Beis Avosam, and here we go. B'nei Reuven, the sons of Reuven, Bechor Yisrael, who was the Bechor, Chanoch, Ufalu, Chetron, V'charmi, Ela Mishpachos Reuven. This is the family of Reuven. After Reuven is Shimon, B'nei Shimon, the sons of Shimon, Yemuel, Yamin, Oad, Yachin, Tzochar, Shaul, Ela Mishpachos Shimon. The children of Shimon, the family of Shimon. Ve'ela Shmos B'nei Levi, L'sol Dosam, Gershon, Kas Umarari. Now what difficulty do you see? Why by Levi does it start with Ve'ela Shmos B'nei Levi? These are the names of the sons of Levi. It doesn't say that by Reuven and Shimon. It just says B'nei Reuven, colon, Chanoch, Palu, Chetzron, V'charmi. B'nei Shimon, Yemuel, Yamin, Oad, Yachin, Zohar, Shal, and Akhnanis. Why does it say the Ela? Why? It seems like it's highlighting these are the names of what we know. They have names. We're going to tell you their names. Gershon, Kahas, Merari. Why does it start? Why does the Torah preface, introduce the sons of Levi with B'nei Levi? The Shla asks this question, and the Shla Kado says something beautiful. Take a look in Source 6, the last word in the fifth line. The third to last word. Ha'inyanu, this is the pshat. Ki Shevet Levi lo haya b'galus. Shevet Levi was not in exile, that they were in galus. They weren't enslaved. V'Levi yada davar zeh, he knew this. V'ratza l'shtatef b'tzaras atzibur. Levi was in America while Achenu B'nai Yisrael are struggling in Eretz Yisrael. Levi wanted to feel their pain. Levi wanted to include himself. He wanted to not just be sensitive, but he wanted to feel their pain. But he didn't work. He wasn't going to volunteer himself to work if he didn't have to be a slave. So Ma'asa, what'd he do? Kara Shemos Labana V'Hashem HaGalos. He named each of his sons a name that related to the slavery, the exile that they were in. Dehainu Shem Gershon. What's Gershon? Al Shem Ki Geirim Heim Be'aretz Olehem. They're strangers in a foreign land. Kehas Al Shem Shineim Keos. Their teeth were blunted, right? We say to the Russia, Afata Hakeyashina. Merari. What do we see in Merari? Yeah, Al Shem Vayamaru Eschayehem. V'zehu she'amar ve'ela shmos b'nei Levi. Why does the Torah highlight these are the names? Because the names were given to help Levi feel the pain of another Jew, to sensitize themselves, to feel what the Jewish people they weren't part of it, but they wanted to feel it. So they named their sons. That's why the Torah is highlighting that. Umikan yilmod adam. From here we learn that a person needs to, a shutaf means a partner, to partner with the pain of the klal, of the Jewish people. Afal pish ein hatzara maga'as lo. Even though there's no tzara, even though the tzara is not reaching you, it's not affecting you, we still have to figure out a way to feel the pain. This is before the chesed. What allows the chesed to happen is if we could feel the pain, the plight of the vulnerable, of the weak, of those who are struggling. When we feel that, then we can start to move to chesed. And the truth is, it's not just Shevet Levi. I saw an unbelievable, unbelievable idea. If you turn the page, is a Ramban The Ramban says that had it worked, the slavery, he's going on the pasuk that says "Vayasimu lav sare misim." Misim is a taskmaster, and the Ramban says that there was like a tax. He says in source number 8, some alaam, they placed on the nation mas, a tax. Lakachas mehem anashim lavodas hamelach. There were X number of people that needed to come work. Not every Jew, like how many Jews worked at a time? Did every single Jew work every single minute of the day? And people needed a break, otherwise you're not going to get mass production out of people. So how'd it work? So there was a quota. Uminala mas sarim mina mitzrim sheyichlu mehem kirtzonim anashim lefi avoda. And they took people, Egyptian officers, to pick which Jews would work when. Khalifos, they would take turns. Chodesh, a month. O Yosef, or more. Yiyu b'binyan ha'melech. The Shar Hayam b'beso. They didn't work every single second of every single day. We need X number of people to work to build the pyramids now. Everyone else has off. And they there was a rotation. So the Sare Misim, says the Ramban, were the people tasked over the nation to decide who was working when. This is the Ramban. So the question is asked as follows. We know how many years were the Jews supposed to be enslaved for? 400. And they were only enslaved for? 210, that's Chakash Baruch Hu, Chishev as Haketz. We say in the Haggadah, Ketz is 190 in Gematria. So 400, they only worked 210 years. But God said 400. So what's the answer? So it counts from Yitzchak. Others say that the Shibud was so hard, was so terrible, the pain was so great, that it was like 400 years. The time flies when you're having fun, but it's the opposite. When in slavery, it was so hard, it was so painful, it was 400 years worth of pain. So that Arugas HaBosim asks, but wait a second. But here, they didn't even work the 210 years. If people are working a month at a time, I don't know if it's a month out of a year or a month out of 6 months, so it doesn't even reach the 210 years. So how do you even get to the pain? You're going to tell me that the pain of the 1 month was like the pain of 10 years? How does that work? So the Arugas HaBosem says, you know what the pshat is? They felt the pain of each other. That when they were home and they weren't enslaved that month or those 3 months, they were so broken and so full of empathy and pain for those who were working, that's the tsar that they had. That counts as the pain of the Shibud. The Jewish people got to such a point where their brother's pain was their pain. It was as bad as their slavery themselves. Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim felt that pain so deeply. They felt the pain. The Levim felt it. They named their children to have a constant reminder. And the pain of the Shibud was so great that it counted towards the years, and that led the Jewish people to do the chesed that they did, and that's what we do at the Seder. There's many more examples of this, which I'm not going to have time for now. I'll share with you one more, which I just saw yesterday when preparing a Haggadah Shir, a fresh insight, a new chiddush that I saw. We spoke about pouring the wine. We spoke about yachatz. I should have done this before. I'll tell you an idea on karpas. Karpas is chaf resh, pei, samach. Samach and tuf is often interchangeable. Karpas comes from the words kar, chaf resh, and pas, pei, tuf. Kar is a pillow. Pas is bread. Karpas, we eat karpas to remind ourselves to take your pillow and take your bread and share it with other people. Again, is that the pshat? That's definitely not the pshat. That's not the pshat. But there's another remez in karpas is that we we're blessed with a pillow. We're blessed with bread. Share with other people. We invite people at the Seder in the beginning of Magid. Kol dichven yesev yechol. Kol ditrich yesev yivsach. Why do we invite people? Simple explanation. Cheres. Slaves can't invite people. They're not in charge of their invitation list. But when you're free, you can have other people. Another explanation is the chesed. We're starting to tell the story. We start by telling of the chesed the Jewish people did and reenacting that. And I will close with source number 9, a very cute idea. The Shulchan Aruch, in the very beginning of Hilchos Pesach, the very first halacha of Hilchos Pesach, you open up a Mishnah Berurah Chelek A, is Sholem Hilchos Pesach Kodem Pesach Shloshim Yom. 30 days before Pesach, you learn the halachos. And then there are ma'ads. Uminag liknos chitim lechalkan laniyim l'tzarech Pesach. There's a minag. The Farshim ask, why does he say it's a minag? It's really a halacha. But we give ma'os chitim, kimcha the pischa, we give tztaka to the poor. Which is a way to start Pesach. A way to start getting ready for Pesach is helping people. And then the very next halacha, the very next words in Shulchan Aruch is a noflin al pneim b'chol chodesh Nisan. We don't have tachanun, all of Nisan. I don't know if people here, besides Mrs. Kolmar, who's with us in Chakras every morning, can appreciate the simcha on your husband's faces or your son's faces when they get to Nisan and there's no tachanun. There's nothing that brings a person simcha like that. It's hard to explain. In fact, I said this the other night. Rav Huttner supposedly said, Rav Huttner was known for his very sharp lines and his honest lines. Someone told me that they asked him, Rav Huttner, are you makpid on Mayim Achronim? Are you makpid on Mayim Achronim? And he said, in public. That was his line. But Rav Huttner said... Rav Huttner said that the reason a non-Jew never experienced real simcha in their life, they're happy. They don't have happiness like a Jew because they're never in shul on a Monday, Thursday, and after Chazar Shabbat, they said, he's got it. It brings people, I happen to like Tachanun, it brings people a lot of simcha. But this is the very next halacha. What's the connection between giving Mos Chitim and this halacha of a noflin al pneim b'chol chodesh nisan? Is it just that those are both Nisan halachas? Maybe there's got to be some connection. It's right the next words. So one of the rebbes, I forgot which one. One of the rebbes said, if you give ma'os chitim, then a noflin al pneim, you won't fall on your face. That's not the simple pshat in the words. You give ma'os chitim, you won't fall down. We Klal Yisrael got out of Mitzrayim because of the chesed. Says the Chafetz Chaim, they made a pact. Nachisa v'chastacha amzu ga'alta. What led to the gula was that chesed. They started the chesed by feeling the pain of each other. Levi naming their children like that. The Jewish people feeling the pain, which led to the 210 years instead of the 400 years. We pour wine for each other. We break the matzah to remember what the Levium did. We spread our blanket, kar, pas, the pillow and the bread to give it out. We invite people in. Pesach is so much about chesed, and hopefully the same way that chesed, the varastachli b'tzedek, the chesed of uvemishpat, chesed of rachamim, that chesed which HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw and allowed him to take the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim, like the Chafetz Chaim starts with, that the Midas Hadin is ma'od ala olam today. We feel that very much. And we feel that ein eitza lihinatzel midetzaris. There's no, where are we turning? Returning to America, the president's going to help us? It definitely doesn't seem that way. Who's helping us? It's got to be the chesed. We have to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we're a community that thrives in that. But we have to up our game even more. Show HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we are going to take care of, even though we're in need, we're going to take care of each other. And hopefully HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know what? I have a lot. I'll shower that down to you. That chesed. And hopefully by doing that, a nofen al plan. We won't fall on our face. We'll be able to walk out pride. And we'll be blessed with the Chag Kasher V'Sameach.